This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Time for the Noon Farm Show, presented by Jersey County Grain Company and Jerseyville and Hardin, Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Carlinville Truck Equipment on North University Street in Carlinville, and by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. And now here's WSMI's Angela Besh.
Thank you. 2014 could see both a new farm bill and a new water projects bill. Water infrastructure has gotten less attention, but is still a key priority for agriculture in the new year. House and Senate negotiators never completed work on a compromise Water Resources Reform and Development Act, so they'll pick up talks again this month. But even before a final deal, key to speeding up locks and modernization of the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers, some are already calling for actual dollars requiring separate legislation. Former USDA Secretary John Block.
The challenge will be to get the money appropriated to do the job. The funding of the project will be a combination of federal funds and state matching funds. Also, an increase in barge diesel fuel tax will be necessary.
Neither water projects bill spends a dime, but only authorizes future spending that will take separate spending bills in an era of continuing austerity. The bills also do not include a barge fuel tax that the industry requested to fund locks modernization, something Block argues is essential.
That's the same as our gas tax to build and repair our roads and bridges. In this new year, keep the pressure on the Congress to get this done.
A Waterways Council official said earlier House Ways and Means Chair Dave Camp rejected a tax hike for now, arguing it should be put in a tax reform bill instead. But chances for that may have dimmed with the early retirement of Senate Finance Chair Max Baucus, tapped to be the next ambassador to China. WERDA does free up some trust fund money monopolized by the massive Olmsted project, but Upper Mississippi Locks replacement will cost billions, and it's been 6 years since WERDA was last reauthorized.
Our locks and dams on the Upper Mississippi are old and inefficient. Our harbors need to be dredged and made ready to accommodate new ships that can carry two or three times as much cargo as today's vessels. The Panama Canal is being widened and deepened to accommodate new and bigger ships.
Block says two-thirds of ships going through the Panama Canal are U.S. ships. He says the future is bigger ships, but only a handful of U.S. ports can handle them, and 20th century locks can no longer compete with those of U.S. agricultural competitors in a 21st century world. Since porcine epidemic diarrhea virus was first confirmed in May, the Pork Checkoff has funded more than $1 million of funds in preliminary research. The results of that research are now available. Pork Checkoff Science Communications Manager Mike King says that information is available online.
Folks can go to pork.org/PEDV and click on the research button in order to get biweekly updates on the latest information there. And some of those relate to how simply the virus affects pigs. What we're doing as far as diagnostics, looking at growing the virus. Unfortunately, this virus is a little bit difficult to grow out there. But looking at what producers can maybe expect as far as some solutions. Looking at the other part of that, we do have a lot of resources available in terms of fact sheets for producers to look at already out on that part of pork.org. And we're looking at a lot of biosecurity measures, as you can imagine.
Again, if you would like to view the research done on PEDV by the Pork Checkoff, you can go to pork.org/PEDV. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Any parent can tell you that money doesn't grow on trees, but it can grow in an IRA. Country Financial Representative Wayne Schaefer suggests that you consider using your bonus check for just that, strengthening your financial status. Instead of buying another TV, invest in your future. To learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, contact Country Representative Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville at 498-5800. Insurance products issued by Country Investors Life Insurance Company.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment. They deliver what others promise.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
Macoupin County Farm Bureau is about more than farming. When you join Macoupin County Farm Bureau, you help fight for quality education. Macoupin County Farm Bureau believes children with a good education are the key to our state's economic success. We work with state government, teachers, and parents to find newer and better ways to finance education, ensuring quality education for all. For more details, call the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau, where membership promotes quality education for our children.
As the price of corn dropped this year, concerns were raised about cash rent prices not falling with it. Now, when a global shortage of soybeans is driving a need for U.S. farmers to plant about 4 million more acres of soybeans, Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions is concerned those acres won't get planted because cash rents are still high.
One of the problems is we have such high cash rents across much of the Midwest that many farmers feel compelled to plant corn that gives them the higher cash flow, whether or not it's more profitable. In many cases, it still is. In some cases, it's not. But that large cash flow requirement is leaning them toward staying with corn. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make it more difficult for us to get the shift in acreage that we need.
And I think we are expecting to see cash rents come down eventually. The question is, though, how long it will take them to come down.
Yeah, the general thinking is that you're exactly right. The general thinking is that they're probably going to stay relatively high yet this year, take another year of low prices to force those rents down. And some of them are multi-year agreements. And so that's why I think the soybean market needs to do its work.
So if we don't see enough farmers planting into soybeans, even if South America has a good year this year, could we see a shortage again in 2015?
Well, we certainly could because the trade continues to be surprised by the strength of global demand for protein. And when you look at China now starting to reject cargoes of dried distillers grains and solubles, which they were importing on a record pace from the United States, now that they're starting to reject those, that increases their demand for soybeans that they can process into soy meal. So we're just seeing that shift overseas toward more soybeans and the need for more soybeans at a time when we're already stretching our resources.
All right. So we need to make sure that we do get soybeans planted this year. Hopefully it'll be profitable for farmers to plant soybeans so that we can stay competitive with other markets in the upcoming years.
Yeah, and I should warn that there are money institutional money managers out there who believe that if we get a good South American crop that we could see soybean prices drop $9 to $10 a bushel. And that's quite possible. When money flow wants to make something happen, oftentimes it can really move things in that direction. But if we do see that, that would be well below the cost of production in South America. And I think we're still the lowest cost producer in the world of corn and soybeans. And we're already seeing low prices start to curtail corn production in Argentina and in Brazil. And if we see soybean prices take that kind of dip, we'll see that curtailing of production of soybeans as well. We just may have some pain to go through before prices bounce back up.
So even if South America has a good year and soybean prices drop for us and South America kind of takes over some of the U.S. jobs of exporting soybeans and protein, it could potentially come back to us because with the lower prices, it would drop the cost of production to below what South America can handle?
Yeah, that's exactly right. South American farmers aren't opposed to leaving ground idle or shifting to other crops. And already we're seeing a move toward corn-based ethanol in Brazil and an expansion of livestock production just to utilize the corn that they do have, the surplus that they've built up. So the markets do work. You know, if you go back to the bull market we had in 1995 into 1996, where we set record high corn prices, that bull market started back in December of 1994 after we had just harvested a record corn crop and the pundits were saying we're going to have low corn prices for many, many years. I'm not saying that we're going to see record corn prices next year, but I am saying that when you get low prices, it does build a demand base. So as soon as you have the next threat to production, prices rise much more rapidly once again. And forecasters will tell us that we are in a period of time now when the odds are higher of us having production problems. So we went through a period during the 90s and the early part of this century where we had favorable weather, and we had trend yields are better nearly every year. And they're saying, well, we'll get some trend yield years. We'll have more below trend years interspersed over the next 4 or 5 years. And so that threat is always going to be before us. And with the demand base being built back up, we could see prices rebound when least expected. But it's going to be very important that we have solid risk management principles in place to protect the equity we've built in our farms in recent years so that we can survive to those higher price years.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions, stressing the need to plan ahead in these years when grain prices are low. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.